So I thank Pastor for this opportunity. It's easy to sit out there and say, yeah, I agree with that. Good job. Way to go, Pastor. And then it's another thing when you're asked to stand here and do the same thing. So the one thing I figured out in all of this, introductions aren't for you. Introductions are so I can calm down and I can get into what needs to be said. That said, I alluded to on a couple Wednesdays ago how the Lord had really blessed in my heart out of Romans chapter 7 and 8. There's a real struggle there that Paul talks about. And so as we get into this, hopefully you're going to find encouragement in it. It's not going to be so much a challenge to you, like, wow, you're really not doing this and you need to do this. But, the Lord is there and His desire is to do a great work in us and through us. So as we get started, I just want to read one verse. And we're actually going to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Read that again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Father, Lord, as we come to you, God, just ask that you would glorify yourself in your word today. Father, that you would set me aside. Father, that you would calm my stammering tongue. Father, that you would give me focus to say those things that you've laid on my heart, and that we would be pleasing to you. And it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. So as we look at that verse in Romans chapter 8, we see that we serve a God that desires to see His child glorify Him. We see that we have a Father that desires us as His children to come to Him. I mean, that's the reason why in the end of that verse it says, Abba, Father, Daddy. When there's times in my life that I struggle and I trial and I fail, He wants me to come to Him and beg forgiveness so He can restore that relationship. I can't restore it. He has to restore it in me. And so as we start this lesson, the idea is that first and foremost, I must recognize that my life has to be guided by Him and through Him. Romans chapter 7, and we've all read it many times, and Pastor did an exhaustive study on it with us. Paul talks about this struggle. The things I don't want to do, there are the things that I do, and the things that I do want to do, I don't do, and just a cycle. But what first has to be accomplished, the groundwork that has to take place, is number one, I must be a child of God before God and His Holy Spirit can work in and through me. So the first point would be, in order to have God's power on my life, is I must be a child of God. And not to brush over this, but Pastor has in the last several weeks done quite a bit on talking about what it means to have that relationship with God, what it means to be the child of God. It's not something that's just a mental ascent. There has to be a work done in my heart. If we go to John 3:16 through 18, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, as we go into verse 17, he says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." And then in verse 18, it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So I say this because we see that there's condemnation upon us if we don't trust in the Son of God. And so as we apply chapter 7 to our life, as Paul starts off the chapter, he talks about the fact that the law is applicable to all. He talks about the fact that because of the law, there are certain things that I'm bound to. Now, the great thing is, in verse 4 of chapter 7 of Romans, he says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." So the idea is that Christ paid that penalty, and so that if we become the child of God, then me in my flesh is dead to that law because Christ is in me and Christ paid that debt. So as we go through this, we see Romans chapter 7, he talks about the law. In verse 7, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet." So what is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is to draw the line. It's the mirror so I can look at it and I can say, this is God's commandment. This is my life. Do I measure up? And there's a resounding no. I don't. So then we look at verse 13 in chapter 7. And he says, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." So again, we could say, is it the law that forces the sentence of death on me? No. Or is it the law that causes me to be defiled or condemned? Again, no. What is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is to bring me back to understanding of where I am in my relationship with God. You know, Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. You know, and we can go down the list, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." These are all things that if you grew up in church, they're verses that are memorized even at the age of our little ones. We're teaching them these things and we're memorizing them, but the application piece isn't quite there yet for them. But again, it works in our hearts. The truth is there, and as I memorized those things even as a kid, and as Pastor had said that, you know, he'd made professions as a child, I fall in that same category. Growing up in church, it was really easy to sit there and say, "Oh yes, I know the answers to this. This is what I need to do. Pray a prayer, make everybody happy, and life is good." And it doesn't work that way. You know, thankfully the Lord continued to work and call me, you know, in the age of 33, something changed in my life. You know, at the age of 33, I come to a point of taking all of these verses that I had memorized and heard and heard and heard, and God started using it and applying it and just kind of peeling back the layers, you know, getting all that scar tissue off, if you will, off of the heart until it was raw. And so when the word of God came and it pricked my heart, then there was a response. So the idea is, since I'm incapable of attaining God's holiness and righteousness, I'm also accountable to the law. And what is that law? Is it the wages of sin is death? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another verse to draw your attention to would be Romans 3:24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So again, coming back to the mirror, I know that I don't match up. I'm not holy. I can't be holy. But there is a God that made a way to justify me so I could be in his holy presence. I say all that because if I want to conquer this flesh, if I want to, I use the word get ahead, really isn't the best word for it, but if I want to get to a point where the flesh doesn't have control of me, because we both live in this body, then something needs to happen. I can't do it myself. God has to do it through me. So if I'm not a child of God, I'm not going to have the ability to conquer the flesh. I'm going to be like the dog that returns to the vomit. I'm just going to, you know, I'll do good for a little bit and I'm going to go back. Do good for a little bit and go back. And it's a cycle. You know, I can do all the good I want. And what's Isaiah 64:6 say? My righteousness is as filthy rags. So again, we come back to the fact that God has to do the work in us. If I'm not a child of God, I'm not going to have the ability to war against the flesh and win. Because God has to do that battle. The power of the flesh will win every single time. So the second point, if you will, to bring out in Romans chapter 7 is we're going to go through verses 15 through 20. And I'm going to take my time reading through this, but because I want you to kind of take it in and understand the struggle that Paul is talking about that's going through him. Okay, here we go. Verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Just think about that for a second. Paul, you know, Paul's sitting there and he's saying, you know, the things that I hate are the things that I see that comes out in my body. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is this body of flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So the conflict in the flesh is real. It rages on in our everyday life. You know, sometimes it's the blatant sins of telling a lie, of stealing, murder, those are things obvious, you know, that would be obvious to us. Some of the other things in our life would maybe the time that I waste in my day when I should be in God's Word studying, doing my devotion, or in the time of prayer with Him, or not witnessing to someone that God impresses upon my heart. You know, we say, well, that was just, it was a bad choice on my part. But in the end, what was it that caused that decision? It was a moment where I allowed my flesh to have control and do what I wanted to do, and not yielding myself again to the Lord. You know, Paul states in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. for what I would that I do not, but what I hate that I do. And the idea here is that it seems like the more that I struggle to beat down the flesh, the more that I strive to do the good things, the more that I find in me those things that I hate. You know, so it's a focus thing. If I just go about my life, then again, it's going to have its rule. It's going to do what it's going to do. It's going to step up. It's going to have its way. But as I strive to live according to God's plan and to God's will, I'm going to see there are things in my life that I need to allow Him to excise, to remove. To remove the will of serving self. You know, Paul says in verse 18, "For that I know that in me, my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So, you know, Paul is sitting here and he's saying, you know, I want to do that which is pleasing to the Lord, but I can't. How do I do it? Where do I find the strength to do this? And really, this is kind of where I've been at for, I would say, probably the last year, maybe two. I sit there and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. In my mind, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up and I'm going to spend time in prayer. And so I make this decision that I'm going to do this, but it's in my flesh. I mean, yes, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to spend time with Him in prayer. He wants us to spend time in His Word. But if I don't yield to Him and allow Him to do the work through me, what ends up happening is this cycle of, oh yeah, I want to do this, but then I fail. And I start, and I finish, and I fail again. You know. And so what was going on in my mind was part of verse 24, where Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I want to just throw my hands up in the air and say, forget it. I'm done. I can't do it. And it's right. I can't. If you read through all of chapter 7, there's over 20 times that the word I and me and my is listed. And as you read through that, it's very, very little that you see that Paul's actually even mentions God. And so what happens, Paul's talking here. He's like, this is a real struggle. But if I try to do this in myself, I can't. What was missing was applying the whole counsel of the Word of God. Because again, you know, I'm a control freak. I got to be able to do this. There's no reason why I can't do this, because if I set my mind to it, then I'm good. But as we see in all of chapter 7, you can be in control of everything that you want, but the more control you have, the less control you have. So as we go into Romans chapter 7, verse 24 through 8:2, we see the question of, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who is going to deliver me from my flesh? And there's hope. There's a great hope in there, because in verse 25, what does he say? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It's like, I can't do it on my own. It's got to be God. in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." So, again, until God does the work, I can't win the war with the flesh. I can't gain. But the funny thing that was happening to me is I would agree with this, is that flesh is just clinging on. No, don't get rid of me. Come on, you can do better next time. Just try just a little bit harder. You got this. Tomorrow's a new day. Don't worry about today. We'll try harder tomorrow. But again, we look at the counsel of God and we have to come back and say, what does the Bible say about my heart? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So again, we come to this point of how? How do I go from the mind of, I got this, I can do it, I just have to try harder? It has nothing to do with me in this body and what I strive to do. You know, because I'm going to fail. And that's a whole nother cycle that we're going to talk about here in just a second. But, you know, even in the times that we fall short and we fail, what do? Well, God tells us in 1 Peter 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all righteousness. So again, there's a focus thing that's going on there. As I'm focusing on my flesh, I'm going to see failure. But if I see that failure and I repent and I draw closer to God, he promises that he'll forgive me. He promises that he'll draw me close to him. You know, Philippians 2:13 says that, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good work." So the idea being that I can't do the work. And so this seems really depressing, and I'm sorry. But a life that's lived in the flesh is very depressing because there's no hope in it. So the third point would be the focus that I must have to conquer the flesh has got to be on God. As we yield our life to the Holy Spirit, we'll find that he is capable and willing to do that which we're unable to accomplish. You know, before salvation, we looked at the law as what? It was that rod. It was the mirror to show us that we're not measuring up. We can't attain. But then, as a child of God, I look at the law as a guide in the footsteps that lead me in a life that's pleasing to the Lord. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned the sin in flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So as I look at the law of God as a reminder to me that I'm still going to stumble from time to time. I'm still going to fall, but His love and mercy draws me to Him so I can ask for forgiveness. In Romans 5:8-8, it shows that the promise we have through God and His Word, through Christ, redemption, and power of the Holy Spirit in me, the flesh is conquered. It is not I, but God who does the work, and my focus is then turned on the things after the Spirit of God. So as we look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5-8, we see, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, enemy, that which is against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So coming back to I feel like I'm repeating myself, but in the end, my flesh is incapable of doing this. But if we look at verse 6 again, Paul says in the end of that verse, he says, spiritually minded is life and peace. And the word peace here gives the idea of tranquility, of harmony, a calm from the rage in one soul. It's really easy, at least wise it is for me, to sit there and get wrapped back up into the old rut. Because that's what it is. It's a rut. I'll sit there and allow God to work in my life, and things will go, and things progress, and I grow in the Lord, and then I slip and fall. I stumble. I get back to just thinking in the old nature. Allow things to just rage out of control in my mind and what I'm thinking, and yet sit there and say, well, what's the point? Well, the point is my focus is wrong. I need to turn my focus back on God. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit. What's His job? The job of the Holy Spirit is to bring us alongside and point us to Christ. As we read throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit isn't there to glorify Himself. The work of the Holy Spirit isn't to make you do crazy things, out of control. The work of the Holy Spirit is to take us, use God's Word, guide us, and direct us in the path that leads us back to Christ. And so as we look at verse 9 of chapter 8, down through verse 11, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit in Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so as we're quickened, we're made alive. And again, that comes back, it's not my power, it's only God that can do the work in me. But as I read this, I find that the child of God is no longer condemned to death. And that's the takeaway in those verses, is that, I live in my flesh. There are going to be times when I sin, but that sin is not condemning me to death once more because I am a child of God. Verse 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And again, coming back, just the idea that my focus can't be on the things of this world. I can't focus on the times that I fail. What I need to focus on is allowing God to work through me, allow God to forgive me, lift me back up, draw me close to Him, because I can't do it. Psalm 46:1 is probably one of my favorite verses. And we'll go ahead and we'll turn there. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So I want you to do something for me here right now. Because a lot of times sitting in the pew, we can sit there and we get to a point where we say, yeah, you're right, I agree. I want you to take that verse and instead of saying our, say my. God is my refuge and strength. Why is that important? Because if I don't take God's word and find a way to apply it to my life, not just say, okay, yeah, I agree, this makes sense, and I'm underneath this law, but I understand that this is love. It's a letter that God has given me to read, to understand Him more. So there's things that apply to my life that He wants me to take in. So just for a moment, say, you know, God is my refuge and my strength, a very help in a time of trouble. So in the times that I stumble, the times that I fail, the times that I fall, come back to the Lord. And say, Father, forgive me. Please draw me back to You. You know, I can't do the work on my own. It's God that has to do the work. He promises us in His Word that He will lift us up. You know, it's interesting that the first lesson today that was given by Brother Girth was talking about salvation. And then Pastor talked to us this afternoon. He was talking about us giving of ourselves, our time to the Lord. And in that, he talked about our focus. This afternoon, you know, the application, I guess, that I'm giving to you, I'm asking you to take in, not so much about the lesson that I'm given today, but understanding that the things that come from this pulpit are given to the man of God to give to us because we need it. If we don't take every lesson as given and apply it and try and glean from it, then I do come to the point of where I was at in my life and saying, I failed. I failed again. I'm sorry. Oops, I failed again. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. But who can deliver me from this body of death? Jesus Christ. God and God alone is the only one that can conquer this flesh. And if nothing else, take that away this afternoon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Father, Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to be here. Father, the opportunity to lay at the heart's door the truth that comes from Your Word. I thank You for the pastoral leadership that You've given us, Lord, and I pray that You would just continue to encourage and strengthen them, Lord, and just draw them. Give them wisdom and discernment, Lord, how to lead us, Your children. And it's Christ's holy and precious name I ask all these things. Amen.